So we've been talking a lot about this thought that God that our purpose or reason for being, if you will, or what gives life meaning, or the thing that we ought to aim at and hit is the glory of God. We've seen that the Bible said that sin literally is defined as missing that mark, missing the mark of the glory of God. So how is it that we, as God's people, can glorify God? And we've just kind of been looking at that. And last week, what we did was is that we said, well, if God gave you something, and that, and you gave that away to somebody, that would glorify God, because He said it does. He says it brings brings glory to Him if we take what He's given us, our gifts, and give them away, that He is glorified in that action. And so let me, by way of explanation, take that up one notch higher. And that is this. So glory is an interesting thing. If I were to ask you this simple question, Sunday school question, is God glorious? What's the answer? Yeah, God's glorious, right? And so and if I were to ask you to unpack that, you might be able to say some stuff about that. And that is, if I were to say, well, how is it that God is glorious? You might be able to put some, and I'm going to use a couple passages to put a little bit of leaves on the tree, if you will. And but then if I were to ask you this question, because this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, if you will, in our experience, and that's this. But God's people don't know that He's glorious unless He displays His glory. Does that make sense? So glory is kind of, in other words, in order for me to glorify God, let's say that we do this thing that glorifies God, which is to tell the wonders of how awesome He is, right? But unless He shows me how awesome He is, I can't tell the wonders of how awesome He is. Does that make sense? So in other words, God has to manifest, if you will, His glory in order for us to see it. Does that make sense? So in other words, God is glorious, that's a fact, but God is glorious to me only in as much as He chooses to manifest that glory. Does that make sense? And so what He shows me of Him, then I can go, whoa, that's glorious, right? And then He shows me something else, and I go, whoa, that's glorious, right? And so what God has to do let me just talk about this from the grace perspective, and it's this. If God wants His people to have meaning in their life by glorifying Him, He has to show us His glory. Okay? In other words, and so ultimately, God's glory is displayed in a person, and that's the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus, right? And the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, which ultimately is to save the world. And how did He save the world? By coming and redeeming the brokenness and the sin of it, and rescuing His people out of it, and then by the fact that He did that, He saved the world, right? So if God... So let me just read a couple passages of Scripture and kind of unpack this a little bit, because I want you to see some aspects before we make a summary. So, you know this passage. This is an extraordinarily famous passage. It's in Isaiah, and the event was that King Uzziah had died. And Isaiah was a prophet across several kings of Judah. And the Bible says that in the year King Uzziah died, and this is Isaiah talking, I saw the Lord, and he was lifted up, and the train of his robe, that is, I saw God in the temple, and he had a robe on, and the robe literally filled the temple. And we've got one of our buddies who's getting married, and her robe will fill up a certain section, but it won't fill the temple, right? And so it was the train of his robe filled the temple, and what happened was that the Bible says that there was these angelic beings that were flying around him. And here's what they were saying. They were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay, so what they were announcing to Isaiah, in case Isaiah had missed it, was the entire earth is full of the glory of God. That is, that God is manifesting himself and his gloriousness in the whole earth. And so you think about this, where in how David said it in Psalm 19, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Show that verse up there. The next verse up. The heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, when you look up and see it, and we saw it yesterday, there was this sunset that was just, it was spectacular. And here's what God was saying, is that one of the things that I'm going to do to show you how magnificent I am is I'm going to show you sunsets. And when you see the sunset, you're going to realize that I'm a glorious God, that I'm a magnificent God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, shows his handiwork. And so in Chronicles, David is praying to the Lord, and he's collected the big offering for the temple, and he's praising God. And here's how he says it. He says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Okay, so let me just tell, an aspect of the glory of God is that he is great. God is great, right? God is great. If I were to say that to you, you know, what does that mean, that God is great? In other words, how does that hit you when you hear? And if you wanted to humanize it or put an anthropomorphism on it, if you will, think of somebody that you know who is great. And you could say, oh, yeah, okay, that person was great. You know, and to whatever degree you thought they were great, God is, yeah, exactly, in orders of magnitude, of course. So the Bible says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. And then yours, O Lord, is the power. So when God displays his greatness and he displays his power, he is displaying his glory, right? And in other words, when God is powerful, when Jesus stopped the winds and the waves, Peter fell down and said, what? Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Why? Because he just saw the glory of God being displayed, because God was showing that his power, even the winds and the waves obey him. He's powerful, right? And power is glorious, right? And as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, that in this era of history, they say that the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world, right? And so the power of the president is glorious. That's why he's in such big trouble right now, right? Because he's powerful. So when he's talking to anybody, even when he's dropping hints, he's powerful. And so you can't do that. Right? I mean, that's what they're saying. And so here's the deal. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. And you think about this. It's like, if you think about something that is majestic, what do you think of when you think about the word majestic? Mountains. Okay. Me, particularly the Rocky Mountains. And in a very particular place, there's a road called the Highway to the Sun that goes from Canada down into northern Idaho. And that road, if you drive on it, when you do the little pullouts on that road, it's literally breathtaking. It's literally breathtaking. And it's majestic. What does majestic mean? It means kind of overwhelming in its bigness and it's glorious and it's way bigger than you. When David saw the majesty of God, he said, "When I consider these things, who am I? I'm just an ant." And you feel like an ant when you're looking at the Rockies. And so whatever it is that you think is majestic, God is displaying his glory in the majesty of the world that he created. But he himself had to be bigger than the Rockies in order for him to create the Rockies. So he's more majestic than what he created. You follow me? So that's how big his majesty is. And it's for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. And yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And so yours is the kingdom means he's the head what? He's the supreme ruler of the world. He's the head of the world. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's over all. And every king bows to him. And he says that he sets him up and puts him down like he wants to. And they're all his people. And he gives them everything. And you're exalted as the head over all. And so that's glorious. When we realize that our God is the head sovereign in the entire world, that's glorious. Both riches and honor come from you, the next verse says. Both riches and honor come from you. And so, okay, when you think about something that's glorious, if you think about some super rich guy, like I remember when Buffett and the computer guy, yeah, well, Buffett and Gates gave $65 billion with a B dollars to try to solve the five top diseases in the world. I mean, I was like, those dudes are rich. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That is not like lightweight money. That's like lots of money. And this is what David said. David said that $65 billion came from God. And so God is bigger than Gates and Buffett put together, because he was the one that gave it to them. And he's bigger than the riches of the world put together, because he gave it to us. And if America or United States alleges themselves to be the richest country in the world, it is only displaying the glory of God, which is where the riches came from. So that's what we're getting at here, is that God displays his glory in everything if we'll take our time to see it the way it ought to be seen. And so it says, your hand is power. You reign over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. And your hand is power. And in your hand is might. And your hand makes great and gives strength to all. So you imagine the strongest thing in the world, the strongest person in the world, the strongest nation in the world. You imagine all of these things. And you ask yourself the question. And you say, God, all of those things are literally testimonies. They're micros of who you are. Because if this is strong, you're stronger because you gave it its strength. Does that make sense? And so, and then he says, and now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Because that's how you are. And how big you are. And so I was thinking to myself, but how do I get that down to the first question in the catechism? That is, how do I take the majesty and the glory of God, and when we raise our eyes so high and we see these kind of micro glories that actually come from the glorious one, but how do I get that down to Bobby Capps glorifying God? And that is, to be more specific, how is it that God himself will take his beauty? Oh, I forgot about that. I was going to write some, bring you some verses about his beauty. And I was going to tell you to think about the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. I love flowers and birds. And they're the most beautiful things in the world. And it seems like that God just sits there and paints them with his own little, you know, it's amazing to me at the glorious beauty of those things. But they only display the beauty of the beautiful one. So they're not as beautiful as him, because his mind had to be bigger than their beauty for him to paint them. And so he's beautiful. And what if God decided that the way I'm going to reveal myself in my people and through my people is I'm going to show up in majesty, and I'm going to show up in power, and I'm going to show up in glory, and I'm going to show up in beauty, and I'm going to show up in strength, so that when people see my people, they're going to see me. They're going to see all of those characteristics in some sort of micro way. And you think to yourself, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing? But let me say this to you, that when God graces us with those moments, everybody knows it, everybody catches their breath, everybody says, God just showed up in his glory. Because we know what it looks like when we see the glory of God. We know when the sunset goes down to praise the one who made it. We know when we see a Chinese pheasant to praise the one who painted it. We know these things. And so what happens is that when we see a newborn baby, this week we had a newborn baby born, the Ivy baby. We know when we see the newborn baby and it makes that first cry, just everybody, I haven't been by atheist bedside when they bore children, but I've been by a lot of people's bedsides when they, not, you know, like they usually kick me out of the room, but you know, I mean, after they clean the, I mean, and there's some degree, you'll walk in and you'll see tough men and the tears are in their eyes, and they'll be saying something about God, not about the baby. Because the God who made the baby displays his glory in the baby birth. And he's majestic and he shows up in the room. I love the song that we sing that says, and he shows up, and he doesn't have to, but he shows up and changes the whole room. And so this is big stuff, and it's weighty stuff, and it's glorious stuff. And I saw this thing, and it's viral. Most of you have already seen this video, but let me just tell you the story. You probably heard about it already. It's a youth pastor in Houston. He's sitting in his apartment, minding his own business, and he's a just wonderful, just loving, you know, young black youth pastor. And all of a sudden, the door busts open, and next thing you know, he's dead. He'd been shot by a police officer. And the police officer this week got convicted for murder. And they were having the time where the family talks to say what they wanted her sentence to be. You know, that's kind of the pre-sentencing where the judge lets everybody talk that was affected. And here was this young brother who had just lost his brother. And the power and the majesty and the beauty and the strength and the wonder of God shows up and changes the whole room. The glory of God was on display. Why? Because that guy was dramatizing the gospel. He was bearing in his own body. He just lost his brother by death. He was bearing in his own body the sin of that police officer. And he was granting her forgiveness. Even as the Lord Jesus bore in his own body my sins and granted me forgiveness and loved me and didn't want anything bad to happen to me and put his arms around me. And the glory of God shows up. And I just, it just struck me. It struck me as that, you know, not to brag on Brett, but you know, we had a little guy, he was dropped off on the Tennessee state line. He had no, this guy, he couldn't have made it down the road without some help. So what do you do about that? Well, you see, the Lord is powerful, and he's rich, and he has great honor, and he's beautiful. And he shows up in his people, and what they do next changes the world. And that, friends, is what it means to glorify God. It is to realize that none of his majesty is left from you, and none of his gloriousness, and none of his beauty, and none of his power, and none of his riches, and none of his splendor. When he wants to show himself off, he shows up in courtrooms, and the entire nation is gripped. When he dramatizes his gospel in front of people. And that, let me just say this. That young man did something that had meaning and purpose. And that kind of stuff changes the world. That stuff changes the world. And that's what it means to glorify God. What it means is that none of this stuff is ours. What it means is to show up in your broken marriage and wonder if the beauty and the splendor and the majesty of God might show up and make you be the one that delivers it. And to show up in your boring workplace and wonder if the beauty and majesty and splendor of God might be show up to make this most wonderful workplace in the world. It's that stuff. That is the glory of God. Band, you can come up. I thought, you know, I could honestly talk about this subject forever. I mean, it's really, how can you get your arms or heart or mind around the glory of God? You just can't. It's too big. It's too wonderful. But what the shock is this. The shock is that God shows up with all that in his people because he wants to display that through his people. That's what shocked me. I'm like, dude, find somebody else. But he doesn't. He shows up in each of us and he displays his glory. And that's something that we ought to, friend, when that arrow gets shot, it hits the target. That kid hit the target. He did not miss it. Lord, all the power and majesty and beauty, oh, it's yours. You're the one. And man, when you show up with it, whether we see it in a sunset or we see it in that glorious sunrise in that courthouse, we know what it looks like. You're on display. And Lord, we pray that we would be willing vessels and that we would fight against the tyranny and allow the glory of God to be displayed through us. And we pray that we would do it for your sake and for your son's sake to dramatize the gospel in all the different ways that you've given us to do it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.